Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you heard all the rave about the new Quick Grill located inside the Be Quick Chevron on Veterans Boulevard? Come visit Be Quick Chevron along with Quick Grill, Be Quick Food Marts, your locally owned hometown convenience store, wherever you are.
It's a great time to live in Mississippi, and we're talking about it. Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. Appreciate you joining us today. We have a day of mayors, actually. In the first segment, or first half of the show, we're going to spend some time with the Moss Point Mayor, Billy Knight. In the second half of the show, we're going to spend some time with Ocean Springs Mayor, Kenny Holloway. But before we go to Mayor Knight, I want to share with you a couple of quotes that came from my digital history book. I'm a big history nut. You know, as a former publisher, you can't help but be kind of a human sponge to new information. I love looking back. I love paying attention to new kinds of information. And I got a quote from this woman who I'd never heard of before. Her name is Selma Lagerlöf. And I went in and started doing a little bit of research about her. She's a Swedish writer. She was actually the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, in literature back in 1909. She actually made her way to the Swedish Academy back in 1914. But again, you know, just interesting reading about her. But she said this, which applies so well to right now in most of our lives. And here's what she said: never repeat a rumor before you have verified it. And even if it is true, hold your tongue all the more. I love that. Hold your tongue all the more. We should not spread rumors or even truths about others that's not anything other than complimentary. Okay, and the next one I want to share with you is a guy by the name of Philip Roth. He was inarguably one of the most decorated writers of his era. And his name popped up because he was born in 1933. He was an American novelist. And here's what he said: All that we don't know is astonishing. Even more astonishing is what passes for knowing. He said that back, you know, a long time ago. But what is even more astonishing is what passes for knowing. You know, the social media world that we live in today, the way people just grasp hold of what they believe to be facts and turn out not to be facts at all. Just someone trying to make them think a certain way. People don't do their homework. Too many people wake up every morning to find out what to think today on social media. Sadly, they don't do their own homework, and they're not paying attention to things the way they need. So Philip Roth was right when he said, all that we don't know is astonishing. Even more astonishing is what passes for knowing. I love that one. Anyway, okay, let's shift gears and move over to my friend, the mayor of Moss Point, Billy Knight. How you doing, Mayor?
Good morning, Rick. It's so good to see you again, man. I hadn't talked with you for a while, Rick, so it's good to see you.
Yeah, you're wiser today. You're wiser today since the last time we talked. So mayor, you get wise every day, don't you?
Absolutely, man. I like those two quotes you just read there, Rick, because it is so relevant for today, man. It's just this Facebook thing, man. We're putting out fires every day about stuff that's out there on Facebook that's not verified in any kind of way, and people take it as the gospel. And they're repeating it over and over again, and it's hard. You can't take it back. You know, once it's out there, you can't take it back.
I know.
That's what's so bad about it, Rick, is we're fighting those rumors every day, man. That's one of our biggest challenges is fighting stuff out on Facebook that's not even close to the truth, but people believe it.
Yeah. Listen, it's always been a challenge for a mayor, long before social media even came. It's always been a challenge for a mayor to get the word out and to get the appropriate word out and to create dialogue with citizens of your community. That's always been a challenge. It just, you know, some people are not involved in the democratic process. They don't come to the city council meetings. They're not engaged the way they need to be engaged. But the world that we lived in before, when we had a newspaper that was had reporters that would go to all the city council meetings and write as factually as possible sort of what went on in that meeting, they were well-trained in most cases with layers of report of editors to make sure that what they were sharing was unbiased. That's the way it's supposed to work. Newspapers were a critical part of helping keep democracy viable, and most politics happens at a very local level. And so as reporters stopped, because for a number of reasons, the business model no longer supporting being able to finance the kind of reporters that was required to go and cover all these different political subdivisions across coastal Mississippi, people these days, especially with the emergence of social media, rely on social media to get their information. The problem is that it's not verified. It's easy to spread rumors. Some people do that on purpose. It's easy to be negative. Billy Hughes and I had almost a whole show once talking about how hard it is to be a mayor today in the social media world. It was hard enough before that, but it's even harder today because people just react. They react to everything without really understanding whether it was actually true or not. And then once that happens and it gets reposted and it gets reshared and people comment about it, it just creates a swirl of what I would refer to it as, Billy, as a giant sucking sound of energy that gets sucked into that. And that's not doing anything to build your community. What it's doing is just kind of heading off at the pass to the best of your ability things that would have been not good for you if they continued to be negatively expressed or wrongly expressed. It's hard, isn't it?
It is hard. It's dumbing down everything. People in the past, there's no checks and balances, like you said. And I equated to years ago when I was teaching school, when you would ask kids about if they did their homework. They're waiting to get to school to look at somebody else's homework and copy over somebody else. They don't want to do the work themselves, so they look at other people's paper. And the way it is now is that we don't want to read for ourselves, so we just take what someone else say. And we take it and go with that. We're not trying to verify it because someone else said it. We're just going to assume they did all the research and we go with it. Half of it is not even true, but we take it to be the gospel, so to speak, and we regurgitate that over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, by the time you hear it the third time, it's not even the way it originally started.
Hey, I remember in a team building exercise, Roland Weeks, when I was sort of growing up at the Sun Herald, he sent me all over the country to some of the best leadership training and management training in the country. I mean, the list is extremely long. But I remember one particular exercise we would do, and you probably have participated in this before too. Let's say you got 20 people in the room. And what you do is just say, you give the person in writing the story. And it would be, guy gets in the car, drives to the store, he buys this at the store. On the way back, he sees this, and he tells the story. Okay, it's a series of events in the story. So the first person reads the story the way the story is, okay? And then what they have to do now is tell the next person. And then they tell the next person, and then they tell the next person. Of course, no one hears each iteration. You only hear the iteration that's being expressed to you. So when it gets to the 20th person, what's amazing, if you go and read the initial thing that the person read, and then you go and look at what the 20th person says, literally the stories don't match in any way. It's so amazing how that happens. And you know what I came to appreciate, and the massive amount of training that I got in the newspaper business, was that when you go cover a story, the old adage that there are two sides to every story, well, that's actually not true. There are as many sides to a story as there are people involved in the story. Your police chief knows this extraordinarily well. You look for these lines of converging evidence is what you're looking for, but if you're trying to get the same interpretation of the events, you're not going to get that. You're going to get a different story from everybody. That's just the reality of communication, but it is odd. And you translate that over to social media, and it has a way of just kind of virally just taking off. It's just unfortunate, but that's just the case.
That's right. We have to prepare for it, and you have to think about it before you say it, because you're going to have those kinds of problems. So you really have to factor in now, how do I communicate with the public? Because I got to keep it simple and I got to keep it short so that when it gets out there, they don't have a whole lot to mess up, you know? So
yeah.
You got to be short and you got to be simple and hope that, you know, it carries that way.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So look, you and I have had terrific conversations about your goals as the mayor. I mean, you spent a lot of time on the recreational side of the equation because you knew that if you could give kids an opportunity to stay engaged, that it would help. And you had some good success with that. You've got a huge economic development plan. You've had a tornado that you were on the downside of cleaning up and helping those families involved in that. But there's been a lot to focus on as mayor. When you came in today, what are some of the issues that were in your head?
Well, it's still economic development. You know, we're going to be going to Jackson tomorrow, which is Wednesday, to meet with our legislative delegation. Talking about all the things that we're trying to do and hoping to get some resources to continue to help us do that. So it's all about our infrastructure in order to do the things we want to do, because there's a lot of things in Moss Point we can't get done unless we have the resources to get it done. And that's what that means about
Moss. The biggest enabler to economic development, for sure, is infrastructure. Hey, when we come back on the other side, we'll continue our conversation with the mayor of Moss Point, the River City, Billy Knight, when we get back on the other side. We'll see you after this.
Passion and love for Mississippi is why he's here. This is the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
From the Citizens Bank Studio, welcome back to the Ricky Matthews Show. I'm my friend, the mayor of the city of Moss Point, the River City, Billy Knight. We're recording this on Tuesday, as you mentioned, on today, the day that this show airs. He's actually going to be in the legislature. And I mean, this is the time of year that city leaders, county leaders, lots of leaders have to make that track to Jackson, because and by the way, you're going up there with so many competing priorities, because they've got the Medicaid expansion debate that's going on. They've got the peers, state retirement program that they're focused on. They've got these massive economic development plans. They've made huge financial commitments from the state. These guys have a lot on their mind right now. So you got to go up there and you got to get in their ear and remind them that the biggest enabler to economic development in a city like Moss Point is you got to get the infrastructure in place to make it happen. So you've got big priorities, I'm assuming.
We have, Rick, and that's, yeah, you're right. You got to go up there, and I'm fortunate that they given us time to be in front of them to try to make our case. You know, one of the biggest things that we're going to be talking about, Rick, is, small cities like Moss Point, most of the money we get, if not all the money we get, requires a match. And that means, if you get money, it's an 80-20 match. Only 80% of the money, we get $5 million. Well, 80% of that money is coming from the state or from the feds, but 20% of that money got to come from the city. And we don't have that match money. So we're going up there begging that they waive that match, because we cannot do anything in Moss Point if we cannot get funding from the feds and from the state with that match requirement, because we don't have a match. So if we don't have a match, we can't get the money. So therefore, we never get anything done. You know, so it's really a tough situation. Larger cities, they have the resources. I look at it like the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poor.
Mm-hmm.
So those that have keep getting, and those that don't have does not get. That's where we are.
What's frustrating about it, Mayor, is it's like the chicken before the egg, because the reality is what you're trying to do is position Moss Point so that there's an economic base, a tax base that begins to provide you with the kind of resources that you need to grow the city. But in order to do that, You've got to build off of your current base, which doesn't support the kind of matching that's required to make it happen. So it's kind of a frustrating step to be in, because you know that what you have planned for the I-10 and what you have planned for downtown in terms of revitalization is all going to help the city maximize its potential. But in order to do those things, you've got to be able to have the infrastructure in place. So it's, you know, you have a vision. You know, the vision is clear. And at least you can articulate that to say, look, we don't want to be in a position where we're coming up here begging for the matching funds every time. We want to be in a position where we're a very successful city that has built a tax base that enables us to have the match on our own. That's our goal, isn't it?
Absolutely. I want to be independent. I want to be self-sustaining. But I got to have help to get to that point, you know, because I do not like going up there asking for money every year. I want to get to a point, excuse me, Rick, I want to get to a point that I don't have to do that. But I need help in order to get to that point. You know, there's a point that Moss Point would not need the kind of support we need right now. But right now, we got to have it. If we don't get it, we'll always be in this position. And I want to get out of, I want us to get out of that position. I don't want to. Next guy come behind me, they have to keep going up there asking for support. Because we're in a position here and have the geography and the opportunity, the potential to get ourselves out of this situation, but we need help to do that.
Yeah, I see that. You're probably as excited about your future plans today as you've ever been. I mean, it's somewhat frustrating to be able to sort of almost touch it, but you can't, you know, it's just not there yet. You know, you want to see immediate gratification, but it's a long-term process, and that's just the reality of what you're trying to do, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's you know, and I say this to our people all the time, that you got to be patient, because it just takes so much time to work through these issues, and it's always so many issues and sides to it. Like you said, there's more than one side to a story. People don't understand that all the time because they're not involved, and they should not understand it to that point, because that's what we are here for. But I ask them to be patient, because it does take time to work through all these issues, to solve these issues. All these things are complex in some time. And that's why you say, when you say government does work slowly, there's a reason why it works slowly, because there's so many checks and balances that you go through to get these things done. So I just ask our people every day to be patient with it, because it takes time, but we're going to get there. If you be consistent and persistent, you know, we'll eventually get there.
How's your recreational plan coming?
Great. I mean, that 2% tax that we got passed 2 years ago, Rick, has been a shot in the arm. And it's the same kind of shot in the arm that if we can get support from the state and from the feds with this match money, you know, that would give us the same kind of shot. Because now that we got that money coming in every month, you know, every quarter we get that report, you know, the budget in that is constantly increasing. And the more businesses we get, more restaurants we get in town, the more that's going to increase. So that has been great. We got all our programs up. We just had, for the first time in Moss Point, the Special Olympics. We had that here this last week in our stadium. And Rick, we had over 70 Special Olympians involved. You had a great crowd. All the Special Olympians had a great time. You know, I'm so happy to host that, because that was one of my campaign promises, that we would do some for the special, those with special needs. And we got that done. And that was all because we had the money for recreation to get it done.
That's awesome to hear. So if you look back at sort of, you know, where we are related to the tornado, that's starting to wind down. Families are getting some assistance. What are the open items related to that as of today?
Well, Rick, that is, we've had a lot of success with that. You know, that redevelopment committee that we organized, recovery committee that we organized, raised $835,000 to help those people that did not have insurance. And most of the people that was hit by the tornado did not have insurance. So we are able to buy the material to. Right now, we are going to have 8 homes that the Amish community came in and built for us. They provided the labor, and we bought the material. And there will be 12 homes that they will be renovating during this process. And so once that is completed, and it's almost completed, you know, we will be back pretty much whole as best we can. Now, there are still some homes that are not being worked on because of legal issue with families, you know, not having a clear deed to the property. And so we can't do anything with that. But for the most part, the Amish has come in here and they have really put a shot in our city by coming and providing the labor to build these homes back. And that the recovery committee that we put together raised that money that is able to help pay for the material. You know, our streets are clean. Everything is looking good, except that we're trying to get our families back in their homes, and we're making a great headway with that.
Listen, my conversation with Paige Roberts, obviously you know her well, but from the Jackson County Chamber, she's a regular on the show. Her commitment to the community is incredible. She talks about how inspiring the Amish are in this effort. And, you know, it's cool to see that. We saw it after Hurricane Katrina. You know, people, you know, on the notion of deeds, for example, you have houses that are passed from family to family and you know, through generations, and it, you know, you don't have a clean title, and it just people don't recognize that's a problem until you have an issue like a tornado. Then suddenly you got to deal with that. You've got others that are underinsured, some that don't have insurance. Again, a situation that's passed down from family to family. We saw all these church groups from all over the country that came to town to help us rebuild our homes. And in the case of what you're experiencing in Moss Point is just sort of a micro example of that. But for the Amish to come in and be so committed, that's inspiring, isn't it?
It is, man. It's amazing how this group of people give up themselves to serve others. They live such a simple life, Rick. And I'll tell you, I just don't believe I could do it. But these people have give up themselves to go all over the country, you know, helping other people. They look for these kinds of problems to go help solve. And I could not thank them enough. Matter of fact, when I leave here today, and we're going to do a video of a house they're going to be cutting a ribbon on, I believe, today, one of the houses they're finishing. And I've had a chance to go have dinner with them and socialize with them to let them know how much we appreciate them.
That's awesome. Next time I'm over in that area, I have to come by and see. We'll have to go in, and I'd like to meet some of those people. But we're out of time for now, but how many years you planning on being mayor?
Well, you know, I just decided my family just allowed me to run for another 4 years, so we're making that announcement. We made it a couple weeks ago, and so I figure at least one more term, Rick, and that's I hope I can get some things done within that second term. But you know,
in about 15 years, I hope to be still doing this show. We'll be talking. You'll be the oldest mayor in the entire United States at about 101.
Absolutely.
And still
absolutely
kicking. It's going to be awesome to have that conversation. But God bless you, my friend. It's been a pleasure to catch up with you.
All right. Tell my friend Mayor Holloway hello for me.
I will. In fact, when we come back, we have Kenny Holloway from Ocean Springs. Right. We'll be back after this break.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.